I'm Michael Smith.
And I'm Chuck Osborne.
And welcome to the Iron Capital Podcast,
where we break down investment stuff with anecdotes and stories that non-financial geeks can understand.
Hey, this is Michael.
This is Chuck.
It's Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. This is the 12th episode of the Iron Capital Podcast.
Woohoo!
So let's get to it, Chuck. What is on your mind?
Savings.
Oh.
Yes. Especially emergency savings.
Yeah. So this is the second part of a series on how to get started in investing. We reported the other one today. It's the first time we ever recorded two series in a day. We're getting efficient.
Wow. Don't tell them all our secrets.
No, we'll keep the secrets together. We're wearing the same stuff. They're going to be like, yeah, one set of clothes you wear. Yeah. So the first one was about budgeting. This is about the importance of an emergency fund. So step one, let's just start from the beginning. Why is an emergency fund so important?
Well, you know, it's so important because stuff happens. That's why it's so important. Emergencies happen.
Yep.
And, you know, it is a very scary stat, and this has not changed much in many, many years. But less than 44% of the American population could handle a $1,000 emergency. And that's according to a group called Bankrate. You know, and it's very easy, as you know, to have a $1,000 emergency. I mean, if you own a house or a car, you know, it doesn't take much for something to go wrong that is going to cost you $1,000.
No, that's exactly right.
And you know, it's just frightening that you know, 56% of the Americans out there, you know, can't actually strike that check.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the money in the bank to take care of a $1,000 emergency, which means they're going to be using credit cards, which means they're going to be paying high interest rates, which is going to get them in the hole. And then we're right back to our last episode.
Yeah.
And how do you live on a budget? So not having that emergency fund is an enormous problem, and it should be the number one priority of any financial plan, is to build that emergency cushion.
Yeah, that's step one. I also like to talk about it in a slightly different way, because, you know, when you're talking finances, it's always numbers.
Yeah.
But there's a mindset difference. If you have an emergency fund and you know if something goes bad, that gives you peace of mind that it's hard to put a dollar value on. You go through, for people that don't have that and they go through life and worried in that kind of a way, there's a level of stress it's hard to wrap one's head around if you're not in that situation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have found myself in situations where something has come up, whatever it is, that is a major expense that we were not planning on. And, you know, and that is kind of the last thing we say is like, well, at least we have the money.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
What would happen
if we didn't have it?
And so, and you know, again, and the reason we have the money is because we're following our advice from the previous podcast. We are living in a budget. We are putting money aside, and priority number one is building that emergency fund.
When you're thinking of ranges, how do you think about that? Because when you kind of look at the commentary that you see out there, you see these wild ranges of, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. I mean, you see a lot of things. How do you think about that?
Sure. So I think, like with anything else in life, there is a little bit of a risk reward scenario here, okay? Because let's not forget, so what do you do once you've actually built up your emergency fund? You then start investing more long term, okay? So when we're talking about the emergency fund, we're really talking about how much of your savings and investments do we keep in savings,
in
you know, actually in the bank, in a savings account that we can access at any time for an emergency.
Yep.
And so I do believe that there is a little bit of a risk reward scenario. So for some people, they're very comfortable with as little as 3 months. I do think 3 months is kind of a minimum.
A minimum, yeah.
And some people are very comfortable with that.
And that's like, 3 months of your expenses, to make sure we're clear, right?
Right. So three months worth of monthly expenses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your income got completely cut off, you have 3 months in the bank in savings that you could easily access to pay bills for that, you know, 3 month period of time. For other people, that's too short mm-hmm. of a period of time, you know, and so they're going to want 6 months. We've had some people that may even want a year.
Yep.
I would say that to me, a year is probably a maximum.
Yep.
If you start saving more than a year, you really are losing out because there's more efficient ways to invest for a longer term period of time.
Yep.
But somewhere between 3 months and a year is going to be right. And again, as we speak about often, it is up to the individual,
yeah.
And it's going to be up to that individual's tolerance for how much risk are you willing to take. And because, again, the next step will be to start actually investing money. And so hopefully you don't just have the 3 months emergency fund, you also have investments that you've made that you can access. You just don't want to because they're growing for the future.
Yeah, well, and when I'm telling people this when they're starting off, a lot of times I especially say 3 months because
yeah.
It's a really daunting task to get that done. That first time doing that and actually getting three, whatever the number is, let's say 3 months, it's hard. It's not
easy. It is hard. It is tough, and it's something that to some degree, I think the first thing is with all of these steps is remember it's a process mm-hmm. and make progress. Don't focus so much on having to be, you know, there and you don't want this to become like, you know, something that's causing anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goal and it's something that you need to be making progress towards.
Yep.
But the problem is it's difficult on two ends because on the one end, it's difficult just to budget and to save. You know, things are expensive out there, and so that's a difficulty. And regardless of what your income is, it takes discipline to actually live within your income. And the second thing that makes it so difficult is that emergencies do happen.
Yes.
And so as you're saving and you're trying to get it up to that whatever the number is that you're thinking in your head is your 3 months number, then you know something's going to happen.
Yep.
And you're going to have to draw down on it, and that sets you farther back. And so my view on that is that first of all, that's why you have an emergency fund for emergencies. So if you had the emergency, you know, and the money's there, you know, use it. That's what you did. That's what it's done for. And you just have to keep contributing
yep.
to it. You just have to have the discipline, and it should be one of the first things you do in your budget. Pay yourself first, and one of those steps should be to put the money in the in the short-term emergency fund.
Yep. There's another question I get a lot, which I think makes a ton of sense to discuss, and that is, well, what do you do if you have debt, let's say credit card debt, any type of debt, and you have this emergency fund to build to?
Right.
How
right.
do you prioritize how to deal with that?
Yeah.
How do you recommend that?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is something that that's a tough decision.
It's tough.
Because, yeah. you know, you want to get out of the debt as quickly as possible. The thing I would say to people, though, is this, and you've got to remember that some of these old sayings and cliches exist for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've dug yourself into the hole, the number one step for getting out of the hole is to stop digging.
Yeah, yeah. Stop adding to the problem.
So stop adding to the problem. And so I would say that what you would want to do is you want to balance your priorities of putting the money into savings as well as trying to reduce your debt.
Yep.
And even if that means that for some period of time, all you're able to do is make the minimum payments while you're building some savings, I would even suggest you do that, because having the savings account is what's going to prevent you from digging the hole further.
That's right.
And if you're trying to put all of that money into reducing that credit card debt, then what's going to happen is there's going to be some emergency that happens. You're going to have some $1,000 emergency, and you're going to be part of that 56% who don't have the money to pay for it because you've been trying to reduce your debt with everything.
Yep.
And then you're going to be right back in the situation of adding to your debt. So you really have to balance that, in my view, and balance putting the money into savings, setting it aside, and trying the best you can to pay off your debt, as quickly as you can. But again, and we'll get back to what we said before, it's all about making progress.
Yep.
All right. You hear these stories, and it's great if people can do that. You know, people like I a year ago I was in $20,000 of debt, and now I'm out of debt and have X amount of money, and so forth and so on. Fantastic.
Great
for you.
Great if you're able to do that. Yeah.
Great if you're able to do that. But you know what? If a year ago you had $20,000 in debt, and this year you've got $15,000 in debt, you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a win.
That is a win. Mm-hmm. Take the win, pat yourself on the back, don't kick yourself in the butt, and keep going. And you keep heading in the right direction, and you will get there. You didn't get in debt overnight. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get out of it overnight. Just make sure you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, all of this is to get to the point of how to be able to start the process of investing.
Right.
Right. There's one other thing that I get asked a lot, and that is, if you add one more wrinkle into that last question, which is you have debt and you're trying to get your emergency fund in, you have a 401k at work that offers a match. Mm. How to, if you throw that wrinkle in, how would you think of that as well, as you're working through this getting started process?
Right. So, it depends on where you're coming from and where your starting point is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a quick story, and this is a true story from my past, one of my first ever jobs. I was meeting with a young attorney here in town to do some financial planning for her. I was young in my career. She was young in her career. But she was a superstar. She had graduated from, I can't remember where now, but it was Ivy League. Mm-hmm. She was like the top new associate at her firm, which was one of the larger firms in mm-hmm. town. And she was making a lot of money. I asked her how much she paid in taxes. And she looked at me, Ivy League education attorney, and said, "Oh, I don't pay taxes. I get a refund." There's a reason the federal government takes your taxes out of your paycheck as you get them. It is largely so that there's not a revolt in
<That's>
this country that makes the Boston Tea Party look like, like something that barely mattered.
Yep.
But if you take it out of your paycheck, but before you even receive it, mm-hmm. you don't think about it. And that's the beauty also of the 401k. So this is where I say it depends on where you are. If this is a new job to you, all of a sudden you've got a new job, maybe you're making more money, or maybe you were a student and it's the first time you're really making real money.
Yep.
Then by all means, sign up for your 401k right away. You never had that money to begin with. Mm-hmm. You just don't even put it as part of your budget. Think of your budget only as from what you take home, and start immediately putting money towards your future for the 401k.
Yep.
Okay. Now, it's a different story if you've been working for an employer and you haven't been in the 401k and you are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
And you're completely stressed out. That becomes a more difficult decision. But again, I think it really does go into balance. I think the priorities are probably the debt and at least establishing savings.
Yep.
And getting yourself going in the right direction. The next priority would be participating in the retirement plan, and you want to do that as soon as possible. One way to think about that, if you are in that scenario that we're talking about, if you get a raise, you get a promotion, sign up then.
Yeah.
Take whatever additional income that you are going to be getting that you weren't living on before and apply that to your 401k.
Yep.
And that's how you get started. Again, I think all of this is about progress and heading in the right direction.
Yep.
It's amazing how much of a relief it is just to know that I'm heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And that's step number one. And it's a hard step. That's the hardest step. Because, you know, it's easy to just kind of sit there and kind of wallow in the, oh my gosh, I put myself in this hole. I'm in a bad shape. You get all anxious about it. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of dwell in that, as opposed to, here are the steps we need to take toward fixing the situation.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to stop on this one.
I think so too.
Thanks a bunch. Appreciate you guys watching. And yeah, as always, let us know if you have any questions, comments, if there's anything you'd like us to talk about. And we'll be seeing you soon.
Iron Capital Advisors is an independent registered investment advisory firm headquartered in Atlanta with clients nationwide. Learn more about us at ironcapitaladvisors.com. The Iron Capital Podcast is produced by Iron Capital Advisors. Our awesome original theme music was written and performed by Michael Smith and Leah Calvert. This content is for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions or advice. Clients and employees of Iron Capital may maintain positions in the securities discussed. Please like and subscribe to the Iron Capital Podcast on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with another episode soon.